Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni v današnjem intervjuju Radija Študent. Točno ob petih, evo, na minuto natančno se mi zdi. Danes z nami v studiju Paul White, producent, ki prihaja iz južnega Londona, ki nas v bistvu navdušuje že zadnjih, recimo temu, ene pet let, pet, šest let, ki je svojim ne ravno obsežnim, vsem pa izjemnim opusom pokazal, kaj se da delati z nekim malo bolj širšim žanrom instrumentalnega hip-hopa globoko v novem tisočletju. Paul White, sicer najbolj znan kot najljubši producent, sodelavec zelo glasnega raperja Dania Browna iz Detroita, sicer pa je treba reči, da Paul White velja za tacga bolj moža za zaveso, ne daje ravno veliko intervjujev, ne visi na socialnih omrežjih, in tako da v bistvu danes je ena taka redka priložnost, da imamo ga v studiju in delamo z njim intervju. Še čist kratka statistika, do pred kratkim se je govorilo, da dela vso svojo produkcijo na Akajevem samplerju MPC, kar ga bomo zdaj vprašali, če je to res. Sicer pa, poleg tega, da rad visi v svojemu studiju, kjer res zelo rad visi in mu gre na živce, sploh, da je treba jeti ven jest in take zadeve, pa poleg tega še zelo rad surfa. Evo, brez veze, da govorim o Paulu Whiteu, gremo raj se pomen z njim. So, Paul White, thanks for coming.
Hey man, thanks
to the
for
studios.
Having me.
Yeah, it's
good to be here, man. Good to be here.
So, I guess, like, I would start with this, like, usual question. Like, I heard that in your student years you're like more into ambient music and this kind of stuff.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, it's funny, I've come, my route through music has really been through loads of different things, you know, I mean, as a young kid, I was doing the typical singer-songwriting, you know, like writing songs on the guitar, on the piano, singing, and then I went from that to, as soon as I did at the last year of secondary school, did like work experience, I went to a music studio and suddenly saw like all these synthesizers and samplers, and I was like, man, what is this stuff? So I just threw away my guitar for a while. And then got into all types of electronic music. You know, Aphex Twin was a massive influence on me. All types of stuff, you know, loads of Ninja Tune things and like everything, you know, like I was going out raving a lot as a kid, you know, and like trance and stuff. I was writing like happy hardcore, you know, like when I was like 16. But that was mainly with a guy from university. I mean, I've always just loved atmospheres, you know, and feelings and moods and emotions, like deep feelings, whether it's good feelings or bad feelings. So with ambient music, it was just all about atmosphere and feeling and just anything, like layers of moods, you know. Like, I've always thought of music as very visual. Like, I loved art, you know, I've always loved art, you know. So to me, music really paints a picture in my head, so ambient music is still really within me, you know. Like, I've just done just finished a new album, and the last track on that is, you'll see my ambient roots.
Cool. And, so, but then, when did this kind of switch happen? Like, because like, since I don't know 2007 or 8, this the records that you're putting out, they do have like, they do fit in a way together. Although they are quite different, but like this psych rock influences are always. So when did this switch from ambient to this kind of beats stuff happen?
I kind of think it's always kind of been there. That was a weird thing. I mean, but as I said before, you know, I was writing kind of more rock stuff, you know, so I think it was always there. Music is just always, I've always just seen the feeling in music rather than kind of genres, you know. So like, I grew up with all types of stuff from like J.J. Cale to, you know, Marley to like, you know, those are the Beatles and, you know, funk and soul, Marvin Gaye, all types of stuff from my parents. So I think it was really like, I went to university and met a guy there who really got me into like records, you know, like knowledge of kind of records, and I really started researching more, and I just love creative music, I think, and I don't know why I was really drawn to like prog rock, you know, like progressive rock, and within progressive rock I could really hear all the influence of everything, you know, like ambient, weird electronic stuff, you know, like jazz, funk, you know, everything. And I think it was just, I don't know, just a natural kind of thing, you know. I never really think about music. It's really just how I feel in the moment, and I just suddenly discovered all this other type of music out there, you know, and just suddenly went crazy and just was drawn to prog rock and psychedelic, maybe to do with my youth of small amounts of, you know, LS and then the other letter at the end. I love it, you know, I just love writing music, and yeah, just whatever kind of draws to me at different times, I'll kind of, you know, be influenced by, and I'll really go, I'm a bit kind of schizophrenic with music, you know, like at the moment I'm writing real kind of heavy 60s psych kind of stuff, you know, like trying to sing, playing the bass guitar, and then like real African stuff, you know, like playing loads of percussion and everything, and so I think, yeah, I just, you know, I really just go for it in the moment and just write what I feel, and I think it's just that journey has just taken me through different people, different musicians, different influences, and then, yeah, with kind of beats, you know, I really just found I could really, you know, draw in all those influences and just put it in one thing, you know. It can be really electronic, it can be really ambient, it can be really psych, it can be really funky, it can be really rocky. So that's why I love beats, you know. To me, it's funny, genres, you know, I hate genres, you know, I really, really do. I mean, genres can just be defined like by a drum beat, can't it, really, you know? Drums, you can have an instrumental piece, put a fast, you know, beat on it, and it'll be drum and bass, or put a slow beat, it'll be hip-hop, you know? So I kind of never really think like that, and just love music.
And, I read quite often that you really like spending time in the studio, and
too much time. Yeah. It's hard to leave. It's hard to leave when you love something. It's an obsession. It's a passion, deep passion, deep obsession. I realized that a few years ago. You know, it's who I am. You know, it helped me deal with like loads of things in life to do with my personality. You know, like things I found hard with relating to. You know. Know that actually this is just who I am. I'm a musician, I love just writing music. I might be a bit mad, might be a bit emotional, whatever, but that's, you know, that's why I write my music. And my studio is my playground, it's a toy shop to me, you know. I'm just full of toys, why would I ever want to leave?
And also that once you start the track, you want to finish it like in one take.
Yeah, I believe. Again, that really kind of spontaneous, kind of improvised approach. Like, I never know, I never have anything saved, I never have drum sounds saved, you know, nothing. I never have, like, drum banks. Like, whenever I sit down, it's totally a blank canvas, you know. So I believe in just getting out that feeling of how you felt really pure and in the moment, you know. And I find it really difficult sometimes, you know, like, trying to then develop tracks later on, because you feel totally different, you know. Yeah. I heard Stevie Wonder say that as well, he's, you know, I thought that was quite interesting, you know, like he'll write kind of certain demos and stuff, you know, and then later on when he's got to really finish it and record it for the album, he'll wait until he's in the same mood as he was the day that he, you know.
Yeah.
And I really respect that, you know, because that's what music is. You can't fake a feeling, you know. So when I start something, I just want to finish it, you know. It's the whole thing of what is finishing anyway, you know. What is finished, you know. I mean, loads of art pieces, you know. Some people, you know, I love... Like, I got friends that do art, and they'll show me, like, a painting they've done, and it's like, oh, it's not finished yet. And I'm like, but that's great how it is. Yeah, and then they'll show me later on, and I'm like, oh, it was better before. So, you know, there's no rules. I just think there's no rules. Just do what you feel and what you love, and be honest to yourself. That's it. If it's finished to you, that's it. Leave it.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
And, a couple of years ago, there was, like, this... almost a myth that not now, but like back a couple of years ago, that you used to work like that the MPC was like that most of the production was done on the MPC. So is this true?
It was, yeah. I mean, everything, I mean, all the Strange Dreams and actually, you know what? No, that's a lie. No, actually, half of the Strange Dreams was done on the MPC 2000.
Okay.
And but I've always just liked to have different toys, you know. I get quite bored quite quick, and you know, again, it's like a toy shop or like paints, you know. Why would you just want to have a few colors, you know? Just get as much as you can. So like my room, I have, you know, about four different types of drum machines, you know, some just more old school like MPCs, some new ones with like effects and stuff, and and just, you know, never ever get bored, just always have fun. And I mean, yeah, there's a long story. I mean, my 2000 broke, like the screen broke. Uh-huh. So that whole first album, I couldn't see what I was doing. But because I'd used it for so long, you could see like slight black lines on the screen. So I'd know to go left, like, okay, three times over there, that's the volume. And then three times. And I think that, I don't know, that taught me something, you know? That really taught me it doesn't matter what, you know, what you use, you know, it's just kind of what you put in. And just something you feel comfortable with. So yeah, it's always been different equipment. Mm.
But like, your last project, Watch the Ants, is probably where you can hear the most different toys, small instruments being used on any of your records. Is that right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think I've definitely started branching out a lot more now and just trying to use as many different sounds, you know, just fascinated by new sounds. And, you know, everyone's using MPCs, and I love MPCs, they're great, you know. But, I don't know, I think you just naturally explore. And I think this, you know, the Watch the Ants EP was definitely kind of like a little show of some of the new things that I've been experimenting with. Mm. And then this new album that I've just kind of almost finished, hopefully will kind of explain, you know, be like a continuation from Watch the Ants, and just trying to use a lot more. I'd love to play with more musicians. I think I've been like playing with a few more musicians than I used to. Before, I was just producing on my own, just all the time. So now I want to be able to get in a room with people and not just be able to play the MPC, be able to play a little bit of drums, play some little percussion, just play anything, just play with your voice, just shout, just scream, whatever, you know. So, yeah, I'm really trying to experiment with different types of sounds. And
this new record is going to be instrumental, or are we going to hear some MCs?
There's some, the new one.
Yeah.
It's got me singing little bits on it. And I don't really sing, but I used to, you know. Again, it's just music. I'm just trying to forget more and more about boxes and genres and whatever, you know. Just do what you feel. Life's too short, you know. Stop worrying about if you feel, you know, not confident enough or something, you know. Just whatever. If you really feel it, if you really love it, you know, that comes through, I think. So as long as you're not really, really trying, as long as you're doing something that you really, really care about and you're passionate about. And I just want to, yeah, just explore everything. Music, I mean, that's the great thing about coming through hip-hop and collecting loads and loads of records. You know, I just got exposed, like I said, to so much stuff. Mm. And now I just want to be able to write beats plus all these things that I listen to on the records, you know. So I think Watch the Ants is a slight little hint at some of the things I'm trying to
do.
But the new record's quite different. People will probably be surprised. Maybe not.
And how did you like pick the MCs for Watch the Ants? Was it like I don't know, was it like through the label, or was it like purely like
it was part
personal contacts, or
it was basically people kind of we knew through like my the guy who runs One Handed, this guy called Alex Chase. He works for Stones Throw over in LA, so over the years we met a lot of people kind of through him, and I was really lucky to have support from people like DJ House Shoes from Detroit. I mean, I got to big him up, you know. He really helped link me up with loads of different MCs, and that's mainly where they came from, you know, Danny Brown, Marv One, Gilly Simpson. Also Egon, I got to thank him as well, from Now Again and Stones Throw. And it was just a dream, you know, to get to work with these guys. It was just like, okay, we got the opportunity to send beats to these guys. Do you want to send it to them? I was like, what? Of course I do, man. These guys are amazing, you know. So yeah, it was a dream to get to work with those guys. And also Trim, Homeboy Sam, man, obviously. I mean, I love Homeboy Sam.
Yeah.
I love that guy. I love Danny Brown. You know, those two are so different, but so similar. You know, they've got the same heart, I think. You know, they've taught very different contests, but they've got the same heart, and they've fallen from the same tree. And then I suppose the only UK guy on Watch the Ants was Trim. And he's amazing. He's kind of known as a grime MC. That guy has got some serious lyrics. If you really, really pay attention, you know, he's really, again, they're just all passionate people, you know. They're all people who just love what they do, and they're doing it because they love it. They're not doing it for a hype. They're just coming from their heart, you know. And you feel that, and it's great, you know. That's what's magic. I work with these people, and half of them I haven't met. I mean, I have met most of these guys, but, you know, some of them it was after we'd done the record, you know, and that's the most magical thing. It's like coming over here and meeting similar people, and, you know, it's like you all realise that you're all from the same kind of tree, you know, and that's what it makes the world feel magic, you know, because everyone's, you know, got a love for the same thing and wants to push the same ideas, and yeah, it's magic.
So now the obvious question, how is working with Danny Brown?
It's great.
Oh,
it's cool, man.
And how did you even hook up with him? I mean,
that was House Shoes. Yeah, House Shoes at the start. And then we had him on, Danny Brown was on my album Rapping with Paul White. And that's how it all started. I mean, I could tell as soon as I sent him, I mean, that was the beat that he rapped on. Thanks for the tea. The beat that he rapped on my album was like the quickest beat I've ever done. It was like 3 minutes. Like, literally, I've never done a beat so quick. It's like literally 3 minutes from start to finish, you know. And the fact that then he picked that one, you know, sent him a few, I was just like, okay, something's cool with this guy, you know. And he just did it real quick. And I could just, again, it was, I could just tell, you know, I really related to what he was saying and his energy. And then it was just real easy. Working with him is real easy, man. It's great. I don't even have to meet him. I feel like I know him, you know. I feel like we're like long lost brothers or something, you know, kind of. And so yeah, after that album, sent him over a load of tracks. Just when he was working on the XXX album. And man, I was just blown away. I mean, he sent me back, I wish people could hear them. I mean, he sent me back like 15 songs. Like songs, you know. And only three got on the album, and then another one, Brown Eyes, got put out on like a mixtape or something over the internet. And it's just really, really natural. Really, really natural with this guy. I mean, I only met him properly after we just done all the record, you know, all the tracks for Old. And he's just so raw. I just love that. I love his rawness. I love his just honesty, you know, and like the new album, some of the new tracks, you know, on Old, and when he sent back the acapellas and stuff and the tracks that he'd done on my beats, I was really, I felt really privileged, you know, because he was just being really open and honest, you know, like clean it up when he's talking about, you know, he's, you know, he's, it's getting a bit heavy, you know, he's getting a bit mashed up, and you know, and he's come too far to muck this all up, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. There's not enough people just being really honest, and people forget that that's what they relate to, you know. Everyone has the same feelings. We all feel like vulnerable and scared or whatever, you know. And I think it's great that he'll say that, he'll put it out there and say how he feels, and that's how I am, you know. I just wear my heart on my sleeve, put it on the track, totally just expose, you know, expose myself, and that's what he does. And I love working with him, man. When I met him, it was bonkers. I met him after a show in London Scala. I went backstage, and his DJ, Skywalker, he was just like, "You met Danny Brown yet? You met Danny?" I was like, "I haven't met him yet." He's like, "What, man?" He's just like, bust through this other room. He's like, "Danny, say Paul." And Danny Brown just jumped up, ran over, and just like gave me a big hug, and we were just jumping up and down, like screaming backstage. And I was just like, yeah. You know, it's kind of like we'd known each other for ages, so he's great to work with, man. Great to work with.
And you were talking before about this toyful approach, like picking up a guitar, singing, and your current live show is quite specific, right? It incorporates these kind of elements, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So
exactly, yeah.
How does it look like, just, I mean?
Well, I mean, the show that I'll be doing tonight, I mean, I mean, it all stems around, I have, you know, a drum machine, which I'm kind of like backing stuff on, and then I can also kind of trigger things on that, and then I have a couple of keyboards, but then just like bass guitar, like I wrote a song on the bass, and I have a drum kit there, and like various bits of percussion, and just weird little things, like a little wooden flute. It's not even like a flute, it's a piece of bamboo that I found on a beach in Portugal, and I just saw it and I was like, that looks like an instrument, I bet you I can play that. I was in the middle of this beach in Portugal playing this flute, and like people were just like, that's a crazy dude doing. I just love different types of sound. I think nowadays as well, everyone's using the same, you know, not to criticize, but you know, it's so easy to get sounds, you know, like everyone uses the same softwares, you know, you've got so many softwares that give you everything you need, you know, a million drum samples, a million bass, you know, so everyone's using the same sound. So I think to really kind of push yourself, and it's just nice to experiment with all these other live instruments, and that's it. Just music's just fun and an expression, and you know, who knows, you know, you could die tomorrow. I want to make sure I had fun today, you know what I mean, and try everything I want to try today. You know, most of the time, your own worst enemy, you just stop yourself. You know, like, I speak to so many people, I love to do this, I love to play that. It's like, well, play it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a drummer, but I'm going to be smashing away on the drums tonight. You know, and I just love it, you know? I love the drums. And now that's really got me into playing more drums, and then that's really influenced the music I'm writing. And so, you know, sound is sound to me. And I mean, listen to a lot of like krautrock, all types of, you know, all types of stuff, you know, people just using instruments in different ways, you know. Sound is sound. Like, I really want to start, I want to buy like a cello and like a violin and things, and just play like, I was in a shop just playing like a violin, like a guitar, you know. So I love it all. I've got two, it's frustrating because I've got too many ideas. There's so many things I want to try out. So many things. I'm just kind of busting with things I want to do. So yeah, tonight there'll be a show of kind of stuff that I've done and stuff that I'm interested in, and also some stuff off the new record as well. So
cool. Yeah. And since you are a record collector, what kind of records are you into at the moment? Or anything that comes and it's interesting, or is there like this, are you getting into some niche genre at the moment, or I don't know, some...
I wouldn't say I'm getting into niche genres, just to everything. I mean, one guy I've really been inspired by recently is Keith Jarrett, a jazz pianist. I mean, there's some great stuff. I mean, if people are interested in improvisation and just, I don't know, just a pure musical spirit, you know, like, check him out. There's a really good documentary called, like, The Art of Improvisation by Keith Jarrett on YouTube. And this guy is just, I mean, I saw him, he played with Miles Davis, and there's this concert from, like, I now know the date I want to go back in time. It's the 18th of August, 1971, and I want to go to this Miles Davis concert. It was Miles Davis, Gary Bartz, Chick Corea, Jack DeJohnette, and Keith Jarrett. And it was one of the most amazing sounds like I've ever heard in my life. And like to see Keith Jarrett, he's like he's possessed, you know? Like, I just love people who just put their whole being into it. I mean, this guy looks like he's gonna die, you know, like he's putting everything, you know, his whole body. I mean, he's like he's in a trance. I mean, he looks crazy. And I'm finding him really, really, really inspiring right now. All types of people. I just like so many different types of music, you know. I never just listen to one genre, you know. I think it kind of reflects of how I was when I was a kid, you know. I used to listen to everything from like happy hardcore trance to like Nirvana to like Aphex Twin to like, you know, everything, drum and bass, like hip hop, all types of Wu-Tang, you know, loads of stuff. So I think I still feel like that. I still hate genres. I don't think I'd ever get into a real niche anything in the way I listen to things, you know. Like Hermeto Pascoal as well, I don't know, if Brazilian musician, just people who are just so passionate about their craft. That's all they can do, that's all they can live for. So yeah, there's just so much music out there. So much to explore, and that's the best thing to do, just keep exploring, because you just never know what's out there. And then suddenly something will speak to you, like, oh, I've had similar ideas, and okay, cool, so now I feel confident of me, you know. But it's crazy how we feel that way. We should just all have the confidence to just try what we want to try anyway, you know. So at the moment, Keith Jarrett is my hero. So check out Keith Jarrett. But really, really check him out. He's crazy. Knows all types of classical music. And yeah, these guys, yeah, they're deep.
And this new project you were talking about, do you already know when it's coming out? Or
be soon next year, I think, hopefully around Easter time. I've been doing quite a few things at the moment, so it's kind of like working out what is going to come out when. What before? It's me and Homeboy Salmon and just done a whole record together. So that'll be the next thing. I think that'll be right at the beginning of the new year. And then probably my album just after that, maybe before Easter. And then I've done another album with this guy called Eric Bedeens from Florida. We're going under the title like Golden Rules. He's dope, man. He's so good. Like, I'm really excited about that project because he's a singer as well as a rapper. And I'm really excited about that. So yeah, there's lots of stuff that's going to be... I've been working hard recently, so there's lots of things kind of ready to be spread out over like, you know, the next 6 months, yeah, to be honest. So I just want to just pump it all out there. Just do as much as possible, trying to work with as many different people as possible right now, all types of people, you know, just trying to work with this guy in Brazil and all types of stuff.
Nice. Okay, so the last question is, are you all, besides staying in the studio all the time, you also like to surf?
Love surfing. Yeah. I went surfing 2 weeks ago. It was great. So nice. It's freezing cold. It's just, I don't know, it's funny, they're totally different, but it's similar things where just everything else disappears, you know, like you're so in tune, you know, with what you're doing. It's just, you know, when I'm doing music, you're just so focused, you know, the world doesn't exist. Nothing exists. You're so in a trance in what you're doing. And it's the same with surfing. I mean, surfing, you've got the survival element. You know, you've got to concentrate, otherwise you can die. Surfing and music, that's my dream. I want to be able to surf and make music in one day for my whole life. And it's hard, there's not very many places in the world, you know, where there's a big music scene and surf. You know, I mean, LA, I haven't been to LA yet, so we'll see what it's like. And everyone should surf. If you haven't surfed, try surfing. It's so amazing, because it's just pure, it's energy, I suppose, that's what I'm trying to say. Mm. It's just pure energy, and you feel that, just like I feel energy for music, and it takes me somewhere else, just overtakes my whole being, you know, just overtakes my whole system and just takes me to another world, you know. And surfing does the same. It's really, like, therapeutic.
Mm.
It's lovely.
Cool. Paul White, thanks for taking your time.
No, man, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Torej, Paul White, danes zvečeri v klubu K4. To je to od današnjega RS intervjuja. Torej še enkrat, da povem, z nami je bil Paul White, res izjemni londonski producent, sodelavec z mnogimi MC-ji, predvsem pa res odličen producent razno raznih odvodov, psihadelije, instrumentalnega hip-hopa in tovrstnih zadevščin. Danes večer zgodaj v klubu K4, ne zamujati, res zanimiv živi nastop. Čau.
Intervju Radija Študent.